Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
GoDaddy.com, helping businesses and individuals get online. Details at GoDaddy.com. And
Esurance,
an Allstate company offering tools to help guide customers through the car insurance process from quote to claim.
Learn more at Esurance.com. And
BBC America, with a new season of Top Gear and the premiere of Richard Hammond's Crash Course. This Monday starting at 8, 7 Central on BBC America. And
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square,
whose Corbu Spa and Salon features seasonal treatments.
Learn more at CorbuSpa.com.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Behavior Modification Department here at Car Talk Plaza. Can't wait.
Yeah, a little short little story. I was tired of being bossed around by my wife, so I went to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist said I needed to build my self-esteem, and he gave me a book on assertiveness, which I read on the way home. I finished the book by the time I reached my house. I stormed into the house and walked up to my wife, pointing a finger in her face, and I said, "From now on, I want you to know that I am the man of this house, and my word is law. I want you to prepare me a gourmet meal tonight, and when I'm finished eating my meal, I expect a sumptuous dessert afterwards. Then after dinner, you're going to draw me my bath so I can relax. And when I finish with my bath, guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair?" And she said, "The funeral director?"
I love it. Yeah, that's about the answer I'd get.
How you can get misled by a psychiatrist.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car or you'd like to boss us around, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Paula from Tulsa.
Hi, Paula. How are you?
Actually, I've been waiting a long time to have a car problem just to talk to you.
Really?
Yeah.
And you have one now. Cool.
Well, here's the problem. It's an 88 Bronco 2. And whenever we hit about 2,000 RPMs, we hear this sort of whistle. And it goes up like perfect thirds each every 500 RPMs. So at 2,000...
Great!
Goes like, like that.
Yeah.
And you can't hear it outside the car, and you can't hear it if you open up the hood. You can only hear it in the car.
Right.
And it comes like, sounds like it comes from under the passenger area.
Love it.
It sounds like it comes from the area where the fuel sensor or the heater core is.
Under the dashboard.
Yes, and when you let up the accelerator, it quits. It doesn't like go down in thirds. And sound, it just quits immediately.
I love it.
Wait, let me just get the whole. No,
the noise is coming from under the dash.
It's coming from under, and it's constant.
At 2,000 RPM.
So at 2,000, you get the sound. And then if you start to accelerate,
it stays at that sound until you hit to 2,500, and it goes.
And then it jumps to the next third.
Yeah,
a major third or a minor third.
I think it's a minor third.
A minor third.
Yeah.
It's almost like. And then it will stay at that third until you get to 3,000 RPM, and then it will jump up.
To a higher third.
All right, well, before we lose any more listeners than we already have lost this week, I'll try to give you the answer.
Okay.
The answer is coming from the device, which is the heater control device, which is operated by vacuum. And
okay.
You have a vacuum source that is coming through the firewall that supplies that heater control mechanism.
Right.
And that's going to be broken somehow. There's a vacuum leak there, And it changes when you increase the RPM because the vacuum goes down.
Oh,
the
so
way you're going to isolate it is you're going to find that hose that comes through the firewall.
Yeah.
That supplies the vacuum to the heater.
Yeah.
And you're going to remove it.
Okay.
But when you do that, and you can plug that thing with a little rubber cap.
Yeah.
And then drive the vehicle, and the noise will be gone.
Okay.
I don't want to ask any embarrassing questions at this late hour.
Never stopped it before.
But how does this explain
every day is the answer.
The incremental thirds every 500 RPM?
I don't. I mean,
come on, that's what I was hoping for. I mean, sure, anything you can say, anything makes a sound. She gave us some very precise specifications.
I do not know what peculiar dynamics are at work here. I missed this course.
Then don't waste our time with the rest of your theories because they don't matter.
Of course they matter.
The only thing that we're interested in is the physics involved in this quantum leap of thirds. That's all we care about. You can take your vacuum hose and stuff it.
One other thing that I wrote down that I forgot to tell you.
Oh, good.
Well, the fuel was low, and then when we topped off the tank, the noise was still there, but not as loud.
Oh, okay.
See? Now he's got
it. I got
it. Now
he's
going to go with the fuel pump theory.
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why.
And you're going to tell us exactly why the thirds occur.
Well, I don't know why the thirds occur. But it is
the fuel pump,
The fuel pump pressure does change as a result of engine RPM because of the fuel pressure regulator.
Okay.
Which has a vacuum. See, it's
back to
that
vacuum.
which is controlled by a vacuum source.
Okay.
And the noise would be, here's the noise it makes. How about this?
Do we get paid for
it? It's more like you take a comb and put a piece of paper over it.
Yeah, that's the noise. That's the noise. I'm trying to do it.
Okay.
That's the noise.
Well, the fuel sensor.
It's the Felix Unger noise.
Yeah.
I'm still leaning toward my heater control mechanism theory.
Okay.
And I want you to pinch off that vacuum hose.
Okay. So it's a pinch off the vacuum hose.
That feeds the heater.
Okay.
Try that. I mean, I don't think my brother's wrong about this. It's just that I was hoping for more.
Something elegant.
I was hoping for an elegant explaining the thirds.
Yeah.
The thirds. That would really take.
It's definitely minor thirds.
Give me a minor thirds. Sure. You might as well just heap it right on. What the hell?
Hey, Paula, we will work on this. This is not the end of this story.
Okay.
You do your part. You pinch off that vacuum hose and tell us if the noise goes away. And
okay.
We will be working on a theory of minor thirds.
Okay.
See you, Paula.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jonathan. I'm calling from New Haven, Connecticut.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
What's up?
New Haven.
Yeah, New Haven. And I have a 97 Saturn wagon, SW2.
Uh-huh.
And she's running a little like a tank.
And that means?
How does a tank run?
Is she shooting at people?
No. No, she's making smoke screens, though.
What color?
Blue.
It's bad.
You got a million miles on it?
174.
Yeah, trade it in.
They won't take it.
Oh, no.
Well, just leave it by the side of the road, take off the plates.
Actually, I'm somewhat mechanically declined, so I took the valve cover off and looked to make sure, the cam wasn't worn down.
Good.
That wasn't a problem?
No.
Yeah, there's nothing you can see there.
Yeah.
No, what's wrong in all likelihood
is deeper.
Is that the rings are worn out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, there's a small chance that the valve guide seals are gone. But I tell you, if you're really determined to keep this car, you must be going for some kind of a record, right?
Do you think so?
Well, I'm 170 on it. You may be close to the world record for a Saturn. I don't know. But if you're determined to keep the thing forever and you're sure the rest of the car isn't in really bad shape, then you might want to just drop a used engine into it.
Yeah.
And, we for whatever reason, there must be a lot of these engines around because we bought one recently for a Saturn, and it was a heck of a lot cheaper than most used engines.
Oh.
I actually did get a replacement car for a short time, and actually I think I got a deal.
What did you get?
But it had more miles.
More miles?
Yeah, more miles. It's a Accord 96 with 212.
Oh.
And do you like the Accord?
Yeah, I mean, it's running.
So you now have both of these cars?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, so what do you want to do about it? Neither one of them's any good anymore.
I think I'm going to get rid of the Saturn.
Yeah, but my brother's right. If the rest of the car is in good shape, reasonably good
shape. Which
is
extremely unlikely, by the way, but there's a small possibility that if you've been diligent about keeping up with your maintenance and whatnot, it could be that it's all right, and you could get several more years out of it. And if you could find someone to put this engine in, maybe for $1,000, you can be back on the road again.
$1,000?
$1,000? What, are you crazy?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I got the Honda for $400.
So
what'd you call us for?
Well, I thought maybe there was something really simple I could do with this
no.
to fix it.
Oh,
up
like there was a loose bolt or something?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Forget it.
No, in all likelihood, the engine's just worn out because that's what happens after 170,000 miles.
Yeah, so keep the Honda, but I don't think that's going to last much longer either.
Yeah, you don't think so?
Well, in New Haven,
a couple of hundred thousand on
it. In New Haven, Connecticut, you know, there's a fair amount of salt put on the roads in the winter, and the cars rust away.
Yeah.
So you'll be calling us maybe in about 10 days or so to ask us about what you should replace the Accord with. But in the meantime, enjoy the Accord. You're going to love it.
Oh, thanks.
See you, Jonathan.
All right.
Jonathan.
What does he want?
He was hoping that we were going to tell him, look, there's a hidden bolt.
Yeah.
And if you turn this thing a quarter, this is the oil consumption bolt.
Right.
If you turn this
a quarter of a turn
clockwise.
Yeah. That's it.
That shuts off the oil burning, and it's a secret. They don't want anyone else to know it, but we're going to tell you, and you'll be all set. And he was hoping for that.
Is there such a bolt?
Of course there is. We can't tell anyone. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michelle from Eugene, Oregon.
Michelle.
Hi, Eugene from Michelle, Oregon. Got it. What's going on?
What's up?
Well, I have a problem with my windshield wipers on my car.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a 2002 Civic, and it's a great little car, except for the windshield wipers they make this horrible screeching noise, and they don't clean the window. They kind of smear the wet across the window, which makes it very hard to see when I'm driving. And so I put up with the screeching noise as long as I can, and then I turn it off, and then I don't have the windshield wipers on, which means I can't see then either. So I'm driving a lot when I can't
this is
really
a dilemma.
See where I'm going.
But just answer this one question. Are the windshield wiper blades the same ones that were on there when you bought the car?
No. I've bought four different kinds now. I've tried different brands, and I've tried to replace the entire arm rather than just the blades.
Yeah.
And nothing helps.
There are three pieces here. There's the arm, which attaches to the pivot, and that has a spring in it.
Uh-huh.
Have you replaced that piece?
No.
You haven't replaced
you have
that
not
piece?
Replaced
no, not
that.
That one.
So what you replace is not just the rubber piece. You replace the entire blade,
which
has springs in it to keep it against the glass. But there is a much larger spring. If you were to grab that wiper arm and pull it away from the window like you do when you clean the window at a gas station,
Yes. Okay,
you would see that there's a big spring, and if you let that thing slam down, it'll slap against the...
And break your windshield.
Exactly.
Which will give me a new problem.
Well, on the other hand, it may solve your problem. So one of several things is going. Either those springs have gotten worn out so that, in fact, the blade is not pushing against the window enough. I've never seen an instance where the blade... that spring gets tighter. There's no way to adjust it. So either it's too loose or it's correct. And if you've tried different manufacturers' wiper blades, we can pretty much assume that it isn't that.
It's not the blade, so the only piece left is this piece that my brother's talking
about. And the windshield.
Yeah.
You could have some foreign substance on the windshield.
Well, I've cleaned the windshield, and somebody suggested I use Rain-X.
No, that's the worst thing. That will make them smear.
Okay. And then somebody else suggested I use alcohol. So I've got the bottle of Gordon's gin, and I...
No, no. Well, that might work.
Not really. No, I tried alcohol. That didn't help either.
I would try vinegar, actually.
Okay.
Vinegar seems to work pretty well.
I don't think that's what it is. I think it's the arm that's not tight enough.
Did this come on just all of a sudden?
No, it's been like this since I bought the car, and I have done all these things trying to solve the problem. And
of course, when you put the Rain-X on, it ameliorates the situation because the Rain-X is kind of slippery.
Yeah.
But it does, Rain-X is great if you have no wipers.
Right.
No, I'm sure the good people at Rain-X have, good intentions, but every time I put it on any windshield, it's always seemed to make it worse.
Well, the idea is you never use the wipers. You just let it beat up and run off.
Exactly. Except when you have to use them, it's like someone coated your windshield with Vaseline.
All right, here's what you got to do, and you got to do it surreptitiously. You're going to go to a Honda dealer, and you're going to go into somewhere. You can either go inside, but if there are people in there,
he wants go you to, outside. He wants you to take one off.
No. I just want you to feel it. Just go to one of the cars that's out there and lift up on the windshield wiper and see if it feels like what yours feels like.
Jeez, I don't think you'll be able to discern.
Oh, I do.
You can do another experiment, Michelle.
Okay.
You can lift the two arms up so they're pointing over, so the wiper blades are not touching the window.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, I don't think I'm going
to
like this.
Well, I think I might like it. I'm curious to see if, in fact, we are going down the wrong path, which we frequently do. And find out if, in fact, the squeak is not coming from the wiper transmission. You know, the wiper motor is attached to something called a wiper transmission, which is a bunch of pieces of linkage that allow the wipers to go back and forth.
Uh-huh.
But if you lift those blades up off the glass so that the blades aren't touching the glass,
right,
and you turn the wipers on, they're going to go back and forth without touching the glass. And if you can still hear the then the problem is not in the blades or the arms, but rather it's in the wiper transmission.
Okay.
Okay, and you need to have a transmission replaced. But it's a lot cheaper than the transmission that moves the car.
But, I hope so.
But it could be that, or it could be in the motor. But I would, before you go out and buy any wiper arms or steal any or put any other foreign substances on your windshield.
Steal your son's.
Yes, steal your son's. They may work. I would certainly do that test. Lift the two blades off the glass and then run the wipers.
Okay.
And if you hear nothing.
She's going to hear nothing.
Well, then I'd go ahead and replace one of the arms.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Good luck, Michelle.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Now, before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Frankenstein warned me to be sure to let my brother's brain cool off every 20 minutes or so, or he'll get afraid of fire, and we don't want that to happen.
We'll be back in a minute.
Button up your coat. Put your new shoes on. Put a dollar in your old billfold. Soon we'll be gone. I got a map in the glove box and a half a tank of gas. We'll head out in the country while the evening lasts, with the windows down and the radio on.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from the extra money we make renting out our customers' cars on prom night from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Subaru, introducing the all-new 2012 Subaru Impreza. Animating and sharing first car stories at firstcarstory.com. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com.
And WeatherTech, maker of custom-fit floor mats and floor liners made in the USA. Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS.
And even though marathoners turn mid-race and start running away from Boston whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members, from the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, working to improve the quality of life in Middle Tennessee by supporting groups dedicated to the environment by protecting wildlife, woods, and waterways, and Lipscomb University's Andrews Institute for Civic Leadership, accepting applications for Masters in Civic Leadership for professionals in business, government, and nonprofits this fall. Details on the April 24th information session are at civicleadership.lipscomb.edu.
Saturday and Sunday, April 21st and 22nd, the Temple Arts Festival will feature collectible works from 50 juried national and regional artists who specialize in glass, sculpture, paintings, photography, and jewelry. The Temple Arts Festival opens to the public on Saturday, April 21st and all day Sunday, April 22nd from 10 to 5. The Temple Arts Festival is located next door to the Bellmead Mansion at 5015 Harding Road. Additional details are online at templeartsfestival.com.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And
I remember last week's puzzler by some... I don't know why, but...
I didn't really ask you to remember it.
I remember it, though. It had to do with a tree.
Yes, it did. Yeah. This lovely little story was sent to us from a guy named Bob Powers from Shreveport, La. He doesn't say whether or not it's autobiographical, but I can only assume that it is. A teenage boy smitten with a teenage girl in his high school freshman class makes his feelings known.
Yeah.
Overjoyed at finding them reciprocated, he took penknife to a young hardwood tree in the vicinity and carved their initials within a heart 5 feet up on the tree's trunk, yeah, as boys will do.
Yeah, like Tommy and Joanne.
There you go.
Oh, right. So there sweet.
Anyway, by senior year, the girl dumped him. She took her diploma, went away to the big city, and got married. The boy, devastated, was inconsolable. Bidding his family farewell, he took his small savings that he got from selling lemonade.
Don't tell me. He joined the Merchant Marine.
Buys a bus ticket, goes to the East Coast, and shipped out in a menial job on a broken-down freighter.
Freighter. Oh, don't you love it?
Can you see it now?
No.
Not really. 25 years later, captain of his own vessel, owner of a small freighter fleet, and with a major interest in a few oil tankers.
Wow.
He indulges in a nostalgic whim.
Did he buy Microsoft stock in the
Yes. Owner of Microsoft stock at 80 cents a share. And he returns for the first time ever to his old hometown. To gloat, you would imagine.
Sure.
Imagine his joy when he discovers that his old sweetheart is living there, now a widow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her former husband had been inexplicably run down by a freighter while sunning himself on the beach.
The freighter just happened to go by.
Right up on shore. You know, the earth's changing magnetic fields and I had to throw off the compass.
Stuff happens.
Oh, God. One thing led to another. The flame reignited, and one day they searched for their tree. It wasn't hard to find. It was a big rock near the river, the tree. You know, trees don't move around.
There's the tree. There's our tree, dear.
Here's the question. It had been 28 years since he had carved their initials.
Right. The 3 years since he was a freshman.
High school, 25 years at sea. If the tree had added 35% to its height in the first 15 years of his absence, 10% in the following 5 years, and 2.5% in each of the ensuing 8 years. How far up the trunk did they have to look to find the carving with their initials?
Which was originally where? 5 feet off the ground?
5 feet.
Yeah.
I thought this was a good puzzle for all the kids.
Oh, all the kids doing math problems?
Right. Whose brains are a little bit creaky.
But, you know, and the only ones who would get this right would be the kids in Aggie school.
Aggie school, right.
Right? Yes, All those mathematicians at MIT would get it wrong.
Right, and the kids at agricultural school would know that trees grow from the top, and the heart that was 5 feet above the ground is still 5 feet above the ground.
I was shocked to hear this. How can something grow from the top? There is no roots up there. There isn't no roots up there. I mean, how can that be?
Well, it's one of those mysteries.
I mean,
tree gets bigger in girth, but if a branch starts off at 5 feet above the ground
or a
carving, that's where it stays.
And it just
pretty
adds
much
to the top.
There you go.
To the top of what?
To the top of the tree.
But what if you did this when the tree was 1 foot tall and you carved something down at the very bottom that was 2 inches off the ground?
It would still be there.
It would still be there.
Yeah. I don't believe it either.
That sounds like bull to me.
But I guess I don't really believe it either. But, jeez, just take my word for it.
Wow.
And who's our winner?
The winner is R.J. DiMaggio. Hey, Joe DiMaggio from Greenwood, Arkansas. And for having his or her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, RJ gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division. And with Mother's Day coming up, RJ can get our CD about mothers and cars called Maternal Combustion.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. But before that, I guess we'll take some more calls. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Helen Johnson.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Helen. No
How
last
you guys
names,
doing?
Please. Where are you from?
I'm from Dillon, Colorado.
As in Matt Dillon?
Sure.
Colorado.
Or Bob Dillon.
Bob Dillon.
Bob Dillon is better.
We're with you, Helen.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Helen?
Well, this is the deal.
Yeah.
I own a 78 Volkswagen bus. Go ahead and laugh. And it's not only my car, it's also my home. I live in this thing.
Do you?
With my boyfriend.
Excellent.
Yes, it's lots of fun. We live up there in Dillon, Colorado. We're snowboard fools.
Wait a minute now. Are you 18 years old or 48 years old?
I'm 25.
25?
And you haven't got a care in the world, do you?
Pretty well. I got a couple cares. My car's not working very well.
Yeah. But but you don't really care, do you?
Oh, I
care. If you fix it,
No, you know why? Snowboarding season is almost over. They're going to have to move on.
Ah.
Yes.
You need to go to where the ocean is now.
Arizona, maybe. There's no ocean there, but it's nice there.
Okay,
good.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with the bus?
Well, there's two problems that seem to start at the same time, but I don't know if they're related.
All right.
So I'm going to lay them all out.
Go ahead.
The first one is a power problem. We can be driving along the road, and the car catches its breath. It kind of lags for a moment, and if I keep my foot on the gas, it'll start up again in a couple seconds.
It sort of like stops accelerating.
Yeah.
And then... picks up again.
Exactly. Picks up right again. I've never really had to pull over to the side of the road or anything.
Okay.
It usually happens in second gear, although it's happened in other gears, but generally it's second gear. It usually happens when I'm going uphill under a load.
Sure.
This has been going on since January.
January. Okay.
And there's another. This is perhaps completely circumstantial, but about a week ago, I drove up to Leadville, which is a lot higher. It's like 10,000 feet. We're at 8,000 feet there in Dillon.
Uh-huh.
Happened... I don't know, 5 or 6 times in Leadville.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's problem number one.
Yeah.
No.
What's number two?
Number two is we have, obviously, these vehicles are really cold, so we installed a heater. Take care of that problem.
A gas heater?
A propane burning heater.
Oh, propane, mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. We put a second battery in the car in order to facilitate going all the way through the night, not having to deal with waking up in the morning and not being able to go. Snowboarding.
Yeah.
The heater... at some point, sometime around January, didn't make it all the way through the night. The battery ran so low. So we thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe we just haven't been driving enough. Because there are two batteries. They're actually my primary battery, my auxiliary battery, are hooked up through a relay that is hooked in through the coil. So when the car is running, both batteries are recharging. When the car is off, the batteries are separate, and the heater only runs off the auxiliary.
Got it.
Got it?
Who wired this up? You had this done professionally?
Oh, no, I did it.
Cool.
Very good.
So the heater didn't make it through the night. We tried driving. We drove a long ways. It almost made it through the night. So there was obviously a power problem.
Mm-hmm.
When I hooked up a meter to the battery...
Yeah?
When I turned on the heater, the volt dropped, like, I don't know, what is that, 1/1000th of a volt every couple of seconds, which is pretty fast, it seems.
Well, no, yeah, that's good.
It's got to drop.
It's got to drop, and you're using up... energy,
but if it drops at that rate, I wouldn't make it through the night ever, and I usually make it through the night.
Oh, I mean, it's not continuing to drop at that rate. It's just that the heater is asking for power.
Okay.
I mean, the same thing would happen if you tried to start the vehicle. If you put that same voltmeter on it,
right,
and you turn it to the crank position, you would see the volts drop from 13.2 down to 9.
Oh, and then it comes back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes back up.
Comes back up.
When you start cranking the engine. I think... your two problems are related.
Wow!
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that somehow the relay system you've hooked up to the coil is somehow shorting out occasionally and making the coil short out, and that's why you get the missing.
You think?
Yeah, I think.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think.
That is interesting.
Well, it is, and it's the only answer I have, so we're flying with it.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like an electrical problem.
Yeah, and what cinched
and
it for me,
gasping
and I don't mean this as any personal kind of assault, but, but the fact that
you hooked it up
you
yourself?
You did it yourself.
Oh, come on. What do you mean?
But I got my instructions from a very reputable mechanic.
No, I'm not. I'm only kidding.
Giving you a hard time. That's not nuts.
But it could be that you have a bad relay in this circuit, and that's what's causing the intermittent shorting of the coil.
Hmm.
And, of course, if anything's going wrong in the coil, of course, it could be just the coil is no good, too.
Oh.
But any kind of problem like that is going to give you its symptom under the most extreme load.
Okay.
And the worst load is trying to climb a hill,
mm-hmm.
and then even worse than that is trying to climb a hill when there's no air.
Right.
And then the next worst than that is trying to climb a hill with no air and no gas.
Luckily, we've never had that problem.
Never had that yet.
But I would disconnect all that stuff. Disconnect the propane heater and try mm-hmm. to drive the thing without that in the circuit.
Okay.
Try right. that, because that, the only way my brother is right is if the problem completely goes away.
Right.
And if it doesn't completely go away, I think it would be the coil.
So how can I check the coil?
You need an ohm meter.
I got that.
She's got an ohm meter. It's the other side of her voltmeter.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
sure.
You've got to look up the spec. You must have the book on this car.
Oh, yeah. I got all the books.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to start with the simple diagnostic steps. But I would disconnect the stuff, then test the coil, then test the fuel pressure, and then call us back in the morning. Take 2 aspirin to
it. Hey, good luck to you, Helen.
Okay.
Well, I hope you make it to Arizona. And if you don't, call us next week.
Okay.
We'll be right here.
We'll be here, and
oh,
you'll
I know you
probably
you'll
be there.
All righty.
See you later.
Thanks a lot, folks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
How many hippies are there?
Well, I'm envious.
I mean...
Not of the bus.
No, but the very fact that you're right. I mean, there they are. They're going to go to Arizona, maybe.
Well, you know, they're like hunter-gatherers.
Exactly.
They've got nothing to think about all day long except freezing to death at night. And getting the bus
to climb the hill during the day.
I mean,
and getting wiped out by a semi.
Life is good, right?
Life is good.
If you'd like to call us, the number 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hey there, this is Tim calling from northern Vermont.
Tim,
how northern?
East Calais, about 15 miles north-northeast of Montpelier.
Now, is that considered the Northeast Kingdom up there?
Yeah, I'm right on the line.
Ah.
Line of what?
The border line of the Northeast Kingdom.
Ah, the border line.
Oh, you're the southern border.
No, the western border.
I'm the southwestern border.
Ah, there we go.
The southwestern border of the Northeast Kingdom.
Yeah.
And the Northeast Kingdom, for the rest of us who don't know, is defined as what? Besides being so cold that you need 3 pairs of Bronco Nagurski underwears from October to June.
You pretty much described it.
Anyway, what can we do for you, Tim?
Well, I've got a question of car-related etiquette.
Ah.
Montpelier is just a little town.
Yes, I've been there.
And the downtown, such as it is, has one major intersection. 3 of the 4 vias that go into the intersection are major-sized roads. And the 4th, East State Street, is smaller than the other 2. And it gets hardly any green light time at all, maybe 10 seconds.
Enough. Oh, really?
So if you show up there at the wrong time, you're going to be there for a while.
Well, this is my question. During the warm season, when the town is inundated with tourists who are not familiar with the local protocol,
yeah,
they're jaywalking, and
yep.
If you are caught in that line...
You're there forever.
Well, if the person in front of you is, as many of the people up here are, which is a wonderful thing, very polite,
mm-hmm.
They will sit there and they'll wait.
So if you're stuck on East Main?
East State.
East State Street.
Yeah.
And the guy in front of you decides to not run the pedestrians down.
Correct.
And you're behind him. You could sit there through another cycle of the light, or maybe another one.
Which I found myself doing this last summer. And in the second cycle, I finally started hitting my horn.
Yeah.
And the guy still, he was still letting the pedestrians go. And this is the kind of situation that down in your part of the world
mm-hmm.
could easily become.
Oh, could easily become a major conflagration. I mean, a war could break
Correct.
Out.
Correct. Yeah.
But up there in civilized Vermont, how long have you lived up there?
Well, I actually spent many years in your fair city.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
And I transferred up here about 7 years ago.
Was it for your mental health?
In part.
Yeah. Well, listen, I lived in Vermont 3 years one winter, and and I discovered...
But what if my brother's going to say? You just should keep in mind that they threw him out of Vermont.
They did not throw me out. They would have thrown me out if I hadn't left. But
if you hadn't left, they would have thrown you out.
But I discovered that... the pace of life was pretty slow.
Yes. It's a good thing.
It is a good thing, but you have been unable to adapt to that. Mm-hmm. I think you should embrace the fact that I used to live on scenic Route 7, which goes through Leech Bennington and goes through Shaftesbury and Arlington and a bunch of other cutesy towns, Manchester, and it was lovely. But if you got someone in front of you that wanted to drive at 16 miles an hour,
that was it.
You drove at 16 miles an hour, maybe for 10 miles, and you learned patience. And if you don't want to drive like that, then don't drive on Route 7. And I know you can't avoid East State Street, but you're going to have to figure out how to deal with it because
it ain't going away.
And the people who in fact stop for the jaywalkers, while the jaywalkers aren't doing the right thing, the guy who stopped in front of you is doing the right thing.
It's a collaborative effort is the way I see it between them all.
Yeah, but I've been in Montpelier several times, more than several times, and I've noticed this same phenomenon, and I've embraced it. Even though I was in a hurry to get wherever I was going, I realized...
Yeah, you wanted to get out of Vermont, right?
I realized that I was in a different world, and I had to accommodate the world I was in. Everybody was going very slowly.
Yeah, the guy who stopped in front of you is a real Vermonter.
Oh, no question.
And and you are not yet, Tim. But I think you should strive through some kind of self-help program to become a real Vermonter.
I have no answer other than the Zen approach that you're espousing here.
Yeah, well, I think the Zen approach
there's
is
not much else you can
what's
do.
Gonna do it. Otherwise you're gonna have to move farther north. Because
and I
Montpelier,
don't yet speak French.
Montpelier is you have to learn to say things like "throw me down the stairs, my cigarettes," eh? If you move up there, because I think you're living too close to civilization. So if this doesn't work out soon, head out, man.
In the meantime, I'll meditate a lot.
There
meditate
you go.
A lot. Yeah, I think that's good.
Say,
and when the light changes, you won't even know.
Say om while you're blowing the horn.
Yeah, right.
See you, Tim.
See ya.
Bye-bye. All right, it's time for us to take a short break and get ready for the new puzzler.
You're getting ready, huh? Going to do some last-minute research, huh? Some additional little fact-checking, some consultation with the foremost experts in the field. Hey, is that what you're going to do?
Hey, nobody likes a wise guy.
We'll be back in a minute.
Well, it's been raining all day, and it's been raining all night. A slip and slide highway, and I'm moving sideways. I'm loose, but my steering wheel's tight. Well, my 63 Ford is a bull. She's 4,000 pounds at least. But metal surrenders when oak trees meet fenders and engines go through the front seat.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new Healthy Shift Transmission Fluid. Now with no trans fat. From NPR, NPR member stations, and...
BBC America with a new season of Top Gear and the premiere of Richard Hammond's Crash Course. This Monday starting at 8, 7 Central on BBC America. And
Angie's List,
with reviews on local contractors and doctors in 500 categories with ratings based only on member feedback.
Angie'sList.com. And
Esurance, offering online tools and 24/7 service. Insurance for the modern world. More at Esurance.com. And
Tire Rack, offering more than 500 tire models from 17 manufacturers. Learn more at TireRack.com.
And even though the NPR commissioner wonders if we're on performance-decreasing drugs whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
This is Miles Spencer Watson.
My name is Iris Bistongi.
My name is Kiani Marshall.
And I'm Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps. Interview someone you love. Join tens of thousands of American voices in our archive at the Library of Congress. Here's how.
Reservations open April 19th by phone at 800-850-4406. StoryCorps in Nashville is supported by Nashville Public Radio and Waddy & Patterson Intellectual Property Law.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And I've been working on this for minutes.
Okay, go, man. I can hardly wait.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Last week, I had the misfortune, or the good fortune, you might say, of riding in Tommy's 52 MGTD with all kinds of disgusting stuff growing in it. You know, empty takeout food boxes.
I haven't had a chance to do the spring cleanup.
Well, I realize that the MGTD stands for My God, That's Disgusting. Anyway, I had a recent tetanus shot, so I figured I was all right. Anyway, we're driving along, and at the bottom of the hill, Tommy lets the clutch out too fast, and the car stalls. Okay?
Yeah.
And he tries to start it, but it won't start because the starter motor's dead, and he says, Oh, geez, you know, it's been doing this for a while, and I ordered a new one from England, and they're going to make me one, but there's a blacksmith strike going on in England, so I might not get it for a while. He says, we'll have to push the car to the top of this little hill, and then we'll roll start it on the way down. You know, just like rolling, pop the clutch. Now, it happens to be 50 feet from where we are to where the rear wheels would crest the hill. And, of course, the car will start to roll down the other side from that point on. So you're with me?
Yeah.
We have to move the car 50 feet. By some stroke of luck, I'm wearing heels. And everyone knows you can't push a car in heels, right? It's just not going to happen.
No.
So Tommy has to do the pushing, and I have to do the steering. So here's what he does. He takes a puff of his cigar. He rests it on the bumper, and he begins to push. After he pushes the car 3 feet, he stops to rest. And while he's doing that, the car rolls back 2 feet. He then takes another puff of his cigar, and he pushes again. So you got that? He puffs a cigar, pushes 3 feet, the car rolls back 2 feet. He puffs again, pushes the car 3 feet, it rolls back 2 feet, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So there are two questions. Number one, how many feet before he has a heart attack? And question B, how many puffs does it take to get the car to the top of the hill? That is, to move the car the 50 feet that we need to do. Now, if you think you know the answer, you ready?
Oh, that's good.
Write it on the bottom of an Ingersoll Rand 25 horsepower, 120 gallon, 2,050 pound, two-stage industrial air compressor with cast iron cylinders, cast iron pump, industrial grade bearings and air-cooled aftercooler, low oil protection switch, and a Car Talk blimp. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Now, if you have a car question for us, like right now, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Mabel from Dorchester, Mass.
Hi, Mabel.
No
from
kidding.
Dorchester, Mass.
I am.
Mabel is a very old-fashioned name. You know, I've never met anyone named Mabel that didn't work in a diner.
I have never met a Mabel who wasn't in a nursing home.
So how, pray tell, did you get this name?
My grandmother's favorite teacher.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
And she held such sway over your mother that she was able to convince her to name you Mabel.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So what's up, Mabel?
So I have a 96 Mazda 626.
Yep.
And I'm driving home, and the brake light comes on. And so I go to a gas station, and I ask the attendant to check my brake fluid.
Good.
And he says it's empty.
Empty.
So I said, well, can you fill it up? He said, sure. So he fills it up, gives me the bottle. I put the bottle in the car, and I drive 2 blocks home. Then I look at the bottle.
Oh, and it's power steering fluid.
It's power steering fluid.
Oh.
Now you know why he's working at a gas station. And moron.
Oh. So how bad is this?
Well, when he said it was empty,
How much did it take?
It took maybe a quarter of the bottle. It wasn't a huge amount.
How big was the bottle? Like a quart?
No, probably smaller than that.
Yeah. How about a pint?
It was
about a pint, probably.
Yeah, a pint. Yeah. The pint bottle is about 5 inches tall. Or six
inches.
About
that.
Okay, so a pint.
Yeah.
So you added 4 ounces of power. Oh, you wrecked everything.
No, she didn't. No, you didn't.
So what did you do then? So what?
What's
did,
up?
Tell what? Us what you did then.
So I panicked a little bit, and I ran upstairs and called my husband down and said, "Oh my God, what are we gonna do?" And we went back to the gas station, and the guy, you know, knew that it was a huge mistake, and he was like, "Bring the car in tomorrow." And so what they did was they just changed the master cylinder.
At no charge to you?
At no charge.
They put a new master cylinder in?
That's right.
They did. Well, I think they went above and beyond.
They certainly did.
Oh, okay, really?
Because what I would have done is just drained all the fluid out.
Oh.
But they
replaced. Yeah, so the first thing I would have done is siphoned out whatever was in, which is the stuff that you, the little that you had in there,
mm-hmm.
and the stuff that he added. By the way, the reason the brake light came on was not because you have a leak. It was
mm-hmm.
it was probably, well, you although you may have, was probably telling you that your brakes were worn out, because as your brake pads wear out and get thinner, the brake fluid level drops until it gets so low that it sets off the little sensor.
So I should go back and check my brakes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You could go back to these guys, obviously. I mean,
mm-hmm.
but what they did was certainly above and beyond.
It was very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I was nervous that suddenly my car was dead.
Don't worry about a thing.
Okay.
Everything is wonderful.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Is wonderful.
I'm sure when they replaced the master cylinder, at least I would hope that they did open up the bleeders and flushed out.
Yes,
everything.
They did. They did flush it all out, and then they put in the new brake fluid.
Yeah, and
if
there was anything wrong, they probably, for example, if you had worn brake pads, they were probably reluctant to tell you because they would figure it wouldn't look right, you know. So
right.
You probably should have someone, if not them, check to see if you have worn pads or if there's a leak someplace, because if there is. You have an opportunity to have this whole thing happen all over again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and throw that bottle of power steering fluid away. Good luck, Mabel.
Thank you very much, guys.
But don't worry, everything's fine.
Okay, thank you.
See
Take
ya.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on.